Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc. And this is Mom and Doc Talks, where we talk about all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And we are here today in this episode to talk about Jody's initial venture into actually finding that diagnosis. So we talked in the last episode about finding a community and how that community helped Jody sort of bypass a lot of the headaches that a lot of parents go through. And she was able to get to a place where she was pursuing a specific diagnosis within a few weeks of onset. And that's really rare to be able to get to that place really quickly. And you acknowledge that. So if you haven't listened to that episode, that might be a really good one to just dial into to really understand the importance of community in the healing process for these kids with PANS and PANDAS and these families with PANS and PANDAS. But Jody, let's go ahead and just dive in. Tell us about how things went once you started to get that insight of where you needed to go. Because you originally started with seeing just like your general pediatrician, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. That was my very, very first step. And I think we actually had a couple of appointments. Obviously we had sick appointments leading up to it. And I think that there was a couple of times that I went where I was mentioning things like, you know, she's different or like she's making these weird movements. But it was always kind of like, oh, it could be this, or it could be like, no big deal. Let's just keep an eye on it. But once I had PANS and PANDAS in my head, I'm like, all right, I got this. I know what it is. Like, let's go to a doctor and they're going to tell me how to handle it. And so first stop was pediatrician. And I told the pediatrician that I felt like she had PANDAS. And I actually happened to just land on a random pediatrician that day in the practice because ours was out. And she's like, okay, like, let's look into this. Let's do an MRI and let's do a little bit of blood work. And mm-hmm. so we did that. It took a couple weeks to make all that happen, but we did that. And then whenever we came back with that, I'm like, oh, sweet. Like, we're going to see PANDAS on the MRI, like, and we'll have the diagnosis. MRI didn't show anything. Blood work didn't show anything. The provider that we saw that day was like, okay, there is no such thing as PANDAS. It, you know, some people talk about it, but it's not a real thing. It's just something that's kind of made up to, you know, not excuse isn't the right word, but anyways, basically it was, we recognize that there is this infection right now. So let's give an antibiotic to treat this infection. But the other stuff that you're talking about, it's just not even.
They just possible. Didn't tie the two together. Like mm-hmm. they said,
no,
all of these other things you're talking about are separate from the yeah. infection. We can verify is actually present, even though there's no signs of this infection.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And so we did the antibiotics and literally within a couple of days, Avery was doing so much better. And my husband and I were like, yes, we did it. Like, we bit PANDAS. We're good. We're awesome. Like, that's it. Yep. And then like most of our kids or pretty much all of our kids do, you stop the antibiotics, it comes back. So we go back to the pediatrician again with, you know, these symptoms are happening. This is weird. Again, you know, PANDAS isn't a thing, but my next step is to get you to other people that can help. And so one of our first stops happened to be a pulmonologist. Because of the coughing, we thought that there might be an asthma component to it. And the pulmonologist did a little bit of blood work. And then we went away for a couple of weeks, had a follow-up. At the follow-up, the pulmonologist was like, you know, Avery has tics. Tics are what is going on here. And I was so taken back by that, the suggestion, because I had no idea what tics were, like, where do they come from? How does it, and he's like, it just happens. You know, some kids it happens and we just watch it for a while. We can't diagnose her with anything because she's got to have it for a certain amount of time, or I'm not sure exactly what it was. And then from there, we ended up at the ENT. And I'm like, okay, ENT, and pulmonologist didn't know about pandas either. Went to the ENT because she was having these ear infections over and over again. And they kept coming back. And, you know, same thing with the ENT. Let's do a little blood work. Let's, you know, but let's not talk about pandas because it is not a, it's not a real diagnosis.
Were you bringing pandas up with every single one of these specialists?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did they, I mean, did they just like dismiss you or were they like gentle with it or were they more aggressive in their dismissals?
They were mostly dismissive. It was it was almost like I had to explain it to them. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like most of them knew about it because they all came back with a strong, like, no, it's not a thing. It was confusing for me, because I felt so sure that that was what was going on. So again, mm-hmm. I go back into this like questioning of, okay, maybe I'm not right. And maybe these things aren't happening. Maybe it is me. And what really happened was I feel like each of the symptoms they would have some, like there would be an excuse for it. Like kids can go through this at this age, like separation anxiety is normal. Like a kid getting upset and throwing fits after school is normal. They're tired. You know, it's like everything kind of got excused as normal and acceptable state.
Well, and that's one of the things that's challenging, right? Is because some of those things that they're saying are true. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, and kids do go through phases, like healthy kids go through phases. Yeah. And so it can be really challenging sometimes to figure out, is this a normal, healthy phase that a kid is going to go through and they're going to work their way out of, or is this actually the sign of something deeper and more insidious happening inside their body?
Mm-hmm. And that's why it was just such a, at the same time, I'm like, oh, okay, this could be normal. That makes sense. So it's like, I would leave every appointment. I'd be like, okay, like maybe we're all right. But then we'd go back home and then the symptoms would come back together and just blow up. And then I'm like, okay, this is not normal. Like we have to start again. So we ended up, you know, establishing that she needed her adenoids out and she needed tubes in her ears. So that got scheduled and then ended up going back to the pediatrician because I was like, we need antibiotics again.
So can I ask, what was their reasoning for wanting the adenoids out if they didn't think that pandas was part of what was going on?
So they were saying that because of the constant ear infections, that the adenoids were part of that.
Okay. Were they enlarged at all?
Yes, they were enlarged. As were her tonsils, and that might be a whole nother story, but I fought to get those stinking tonsils out because all the mom said, you got to get the tonsils out. And the pulmonologist who we were going through was like, no, like we can't do it unless we get a sleep study and we have a reason for those tonsils to come out. So we went through a sleep study and they were like, she doesn't have apnea. Her tonsils are fine. At the time I was super disappointed. Now I'm really glad that she still has them because it would have been unnecessary to remove them. Anyways, so went back to the pediatrician, got some more antibiotics, and the pediatrician's like, well, I think you need to go to an allergist. And the same thing with the allergist, let's run some blood tests. Let's get her on a different antibiotic because the one she was on from the pediatrician did not, it was not working whatsoever. And I knew that something was going on up in Avery's sinuses, and eventually got him to agree to testing up in her sinuses, to figure out what was going on up in there constantly. And she did have strep. I think she had staph too, but I'm for sure she had strep up in her sinuses. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yes, we got strep. Like we got it. Like we have a diagnosis now. Went back to the allergist and he was like, yeah, no, this is not a diagnosis. Like, okay, again, Jody, pandas doesn't exist. It's not a thing. And just because your kid has strep doesn't mean that they have pandas. And I'm like, well, all the symptoms are, it, it was, It was absolutely crazy making. And even like the same thing with the titers, each of these providers would test her titers and her titers were elevated. And I felt so sure that, okay, we have elevated titers. What else do you need to give us a diagnosis? And each one of them were like, yeah, no, that doesn't tell us that she's got anything other than a past or present infection.
Right. Can I ask if all of these doctors, were they like part of the same medical group or like overarching medical system? Because no. I know that there are some systems that have a documented, like a stance, like they're anti-pandas. So that was not your case. Like these were
separate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Every single one of them was separate. And it was just, I was like mind boggling. I felt like I was in this like alternate universe. And then this whole thing just kept dragging on and on. And it really got to the point where like we were going to all these providers. I couldn't get anybody to tell me what was wrong with her. And again, each one had their own separate thing. Like, you know, each one was dealing with their own department or whatever you say. And nobody, I'm like, can somebody just like pull this all together and put it in one thing for me? And nobody could do that. Pardon me, which is super, super frustrating. So I'm like, fine, you know what? Like, I need these doctors to prescribe antibiotics because it makes her better. It makes her worse afterwards. But I needed, pardon me, I needed immediate like help whenever she was going into these places. So finally, this is around in that time where I was getting connected to local groups. And so I had found some moms locally that had been taking their children to an immunologist that was treating their children for pandas. So I'm like, hallelujah, we got it. Let's, pardon me. Let's go to this immunologist and get our diagnosis and get our treatment. And so we went to the immunologist and we went through, you know, the conversation of, okay, we got to do some blood work to rule out a couple of other things. And then, you know, we'll come back together and we'll see what the next steps are. At the time he talked to us about doing IVIG because it was what he did for pans and pandas, talked real lightly about, antibiotics and what long-term antibiotics looked like. Did the blood work, went back and, it, you know, nothing was significant. They found like nothing else of concern. And, at the time I brought a Cunningham panel with us and I'm like, I want this test done, because this is the one that all the moms are telling me that this is what's going to give my kid a diagnosis.
And so for anybody who's listening, who's not familiar with the Cunningham panel, in our upcoming episodes, we're going to go over what goes into getting a diagnosis, and then a lot of things related to testing, various different types of testing and treatment options in the conventional, functional, integrative, et cetera, realms. So we're gonna touch on all of that for you. So if you're confused about what Jody's talking about with the Cunningham panel, it'll be in the next episode.
We did the Cunningham panel. Her mediators came back elevated. Well, and again, I was like, hallelujah. Like we got it. Here's our diagnosis. Went back to the immunologist and he was like, well, you know, it's not 100%. Mm-hmm. Like this is a clinical diagnosis. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. And he's like, let's talk about what, you know, what your options are. I can give her an antibiotic, but really we're just guessing. Like we're guessing what antibiotic to give her. We can give it a try, or we can do IVIG. And I know we'll talk a whole lot, or not a whole lot, but we will talk more about IVIG down the road. But just even the mention of that, for some reason, that's like one of my spaces that I like super strongly remember feeling like hard no. I was so afraid of IVIG, even though I had heard some moms saying that it was working for their children. For some reason, I just felt a really hard, hard no. So it was just this, you know what? We went to a neurologist too. And again, it's like every single stop we made, it was blood work and then come back in 2, 3, 4 weeks and we'll talk about nothing. And that's what would happen over and over again. So I wasted, I can't say wasted because it was all necessary. But this, like, trying to find a diagnosis and the right treatment, and we were just flopping around trying a bunch of antibiotics that, again, were working, then weren't working. And all the while we were doing this, Avery just, each time she would, the symptoms would come back, she would just get a little tiny bit worse than she was before. So it's like we were going downhill as I was trying to find, you know, as I, I just desperately needed to be told, yes, this is PANDAS, right, and this is how we're going to treat it. And no matter how much I did, I was still completely on my own trying to figure out how to help her or how to relieve these symptoms.
Well, and the reality is that, like you said, it's, and we talked about this in the couple episodes ago when we talked about like, what is PANS and PANDAS? It is so, it's such a complex multi-system condition that it's so frustrating when you're going just the conventional route, because there are like, there are multiple different providers that you would need to see to be able to actually address the constellation of symptoms that are coming from it. And you can't disconnect one from the other. And that's one reason that homeopathy ends up being so powerfully effective for this community, because homeopathy is a whole body medicine. And again, we talked about homeopathy a couple episodes ago to give you a basic understanding of what it is moving forward as we talk about it. One of the things that you didn't quite mention that I know is part of your experience was that each time you get an antibiotic, it would not be as effective as the time before. And there was like adding antibiotics and you have like multiple antibiotics together and like changes and like constantly chasing a new one. Can you talk a little bit about that experience? Cause I know a lot of people have that. Cause you know, you get that, like you said, hooray, we nailed it. We've got this figured out because things are so much better. And then they don't stick. And then you get the same antibiotic again, thinking it's going to work and it's not as effective. And like the symptoms are somewhat better, but they're not as better. So can you talk a little bit about that experience?
It's like everything during that time, it's like things were just morphing and getting worse and more symptoms were piling on. And the ones that she already had were becoming more intense. And what we did multiple times is we would get on an antibiotic and I would see a little bit of improvement, but not very much. So I'm like, oh, this one isn't working. Let's switch to another one. So we would switch to another stronger antibiotic. And it was like, oh, wait, it wasn't the antibiotic. Like, cause this next one's doing the, like working minimally as well. It's like the effectiveness of the antibiotic. All of them just weren't what they were in the very beginning. It's like that very first round was like, boom, like symptoms gone, we're good. But it didn't ever happen like that again. And again, we just kept getting deeper and deeper into symptoms and craziness. And this, I feel like this space that we're talking about right now is where like my trauma started. Because like going through that and not having help and not having, you know, anybody even be able to tell me anything about what was going on or understand. And also trauma, because again, I'll say this, every time I would take Avery to one of these doctors, she would act totally normal, like nothing wrong with her. And so I looked like the crazy mom. I looked like the mom that was over exaggerating. I looked like I was making things up because I was taking a healthy looking child to them. And nothing was wrong with blood work. So if nothing's wrong with blood work, then everything is fine. In many of their worlds, but it was
That's the really tough thing. We'll talk about this in an upcoming episode, but that's the challenge with blood work, right? Is like it can both it blood work can be a gaslighter too, right? Like you can have completely normal blood work on a very unwell child, but you can also have completely catastrophic looking blood work on somebody who's actually presents as healthy and that may or may not actually be a problem. So blood work can take you down lots of paths in lots of ways. But like I said, we'll address that in an upcoming episode. Jodiada asked, did you ever get accused of Munchausen by proxy?
I don't. So yes and no. I had one of those providers tell me, she's like, what a coincidence. You have a younger daughter with a complex, rare medical condition that not a lot of providers know about. And now you have Avery with these symptoms that don't make a whole lot of sense. She was like, isn't that crazy? She's like, have you ever had somebody ask you about Munchausen by proxy? And she kind of giggled whenever she said it. And I was like, oh my gosh.
You were passive aggressively asked if you had Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah. And that was a horrible, it was actually terrifying to me, just because I, you know, in this world that we're in, you know, rough things happen sometimes. Families get accused of things whenever they are innocent. And that really shook me. Just because that's what it looked like. I was the crazy lady that had the super sick kids that not everybody could see their symptoms outwardly. What I was saying was not believable. Like if I was an outsider looking in and I didn't see what was going on in my house, I probably would not have believed me either. Just because it was so, and that was terrifying. And again, like part of that, like, little ball of trauma that I was starting to roll up.
Like the worst thing to be in the middle of trying to get help for your kids, like taking such intense care of them and losing sleep yourself because you're worried so much about your kiddo, to then be indirectly, passively suggested that you might have something that could threaten your ability to actually care for your kids, like that they could be taken from you.
Yeah.
That's gotta be awful. Yeah.
It was scary. It was a very scary thing. And that actually, after that, I felt like I had to be like super careful with what I was saying. And I don't know. That was a hard thing.
Yeah.
Really hard thing.
So we're going to wrap on this episode today, just in the interest of keeping these on the shorter side for the community that we serve. And so in the next episode, we're going to talk in more detail about what goes into getting a diagnosis. And so Jodi will share a little bit about there. I'll chime in a little bit more here about what the diagnostic criteria are and what you're going to be looking at to get a diagnosis. And then in the next couple of episodes, we'll talk more about the specifics of treatment that is recommended. Jodi will share some of what she did in the conventional realm, and then also in the integrative functional realm. And we'll talk about all of those in the next couple of episodes. So hopefully you'll join us there.
Bye.